Okay. All right. Well, Proverbs chapter 2, if you will join me, we'll get a test this morning to see how well I will help each other make the confession. I think we got it. All right. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I can do. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed, I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Sound great. Lord bless you. Let me just read a few verses here to get us where I hope to go this morning. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." So for the Lord gives wisdom and from his mouth. In other words, wisdom and understanding come from the Lord and his word. Now, if you look at chapter 4 and verse 7, Proverbs 4, 7 says, "Wisdom is the principal thing." It's like the most important thing. "Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding." So again, wisdom and understanding. And then chapter 9, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. "The fear of the Lord," that means a reverence and awe of God that leads us to worship and give ourselves to him. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the Bible tells us to seek wisdom like a treasure. Wisdom is available, but it's not automatic. God doesn't try to hide it from us, but he says to seek him and to seek his word. And over through the Proverbs, we're told to put forth the effort. It says it like this: incline your ear, incline your heart. So incline your ear, incline your heart to acquire godly wisdom and understanding. And then just one simple definition I've shared with you each week over this series, that wisdom, just as far as it relates to scripture, is simply this: skills for godly living. Would you say that with me? Skills for godly living. And thank God, he wants us to know him, and he wants us to be fruitful in living for him. So he gave us truths in his word, and when we are born again, God's spirit indwells us, and he empowers us to do what's written in his word, because we can't do it without him. But thank God, he's available for us. And now this week, I want to center in on this verse. It's chapter 24 and verse 3, and I'd like to ask you to, maybe you think about it with me this week. Maybe try to memorize it and learn it. But Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3, and today, God willing, I'll complete a second part of a message that I started 2 weeks ago when we were here together, based on family and friends. And here it is, Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 3 says, "Through wisdom, a house is built." Now, my dad built houses, so it takes some wisdom to know what you're doing to build a house for it not to fall. But this is not just speaking of a physical structure. In other words, through godly wisdom, a household is built, a family is built. And then the second part of that verse, "And by understanding it is established." The Amplified Bible adds a few words. It says, by understanding it is established on a sound and good foundation. On a sound and good foundation. So the title of the message is just simply part two today of Family and Friends, part two. Family and Friends, part two. So I want to encourage you, as you're going through the Proverbs, a chapter a day, look for scripture that gives us truth to live by. That's what it's all about. Ultimately, it's not just learning, but it's about living. Look for truths to live by that are in harmony with all of God's word. And I'm going to share four relationships with you this morning from the Proverbs and give you five words if you want to write them down. All of us will have two of these, and some will have all four of the relationships. But let me start with this one. The first one is honor your parents. So the first relationship that I want to bring up is what the Proverbs and what scripture teaches about our parents. And so the word there is honor. One word for each relationship. All right, so honor. And when you have your hands free, if you're right there in chapter 24, would you look at chapter 23? Proverbs chapter 23 and beginning in verse 22. The scripture reads, "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also," here we go again, "wisdom and instruction and understanding." And then verse 24, "The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him." Amen. Don't you know, though, that's God's heart for all of us as his sons and daughters, that if we walk in wisdom and seek him, that it brings joy to our father's heart. And I'm so thankful for that. But the scripture says to honor our parents. And I want to give you a scripture in Ephesians. I'll read it to you in a little bit if you want to just write it down. But our first human relationships with our parents. And God wants us to honor our parents as an expression of honoring him, because he is the ultimate and the highest authority. And he wants us to honor him, and he calls us to honor our parents. If we recognize the authority of God, then we'll recognize the authority of parents, that it is our, as parents, it's our responsibility to lead and guide our children. Here's how we honor. We honor with our attitude, our actions, and our words. We honor with our attitude, actions, and words. Okay, now just imagine me being a young person, maybe a teenager, preteen, and one of the parents wants me to take the trash out. But I'm busy on my whatever. I'm watching something. I'm chilling. I'm gaming. I'm not in school. I'm off. And on the 14th time, I listened. I took the trash out. Did I honor? But now, before we pick on the younger folk, do we ever have that attitude toward God? When he tells us to do something and we kind of, let's honor him, and then let's teach honor to our sons and daughters. And years ago, when we were feeding people at the shelter every Friday night over at the Salvation Army, one night I was there, and always, you know, we offer to pray with people. And I was sat down with a man after the meal and just got to talking and asked him if there was anything I could pray with him about. And he told me he was on crack, and so he was struggling with that. And so I got ready to pray, and I bowed my head, and he bowed his. And I just, in my heart, this question came up to ask him about his father. And I said, "Would you tell me about your dad or your father," however I worded it. And he had his head bowed, and he looked up at me and looked right at me and said, "He was a devil." And so I had opportunity to pray for him, not just for the addiction, but for healing in his heart. But I wonder how many people are hurting and broken and maybe even bound because of something in the past that has not been brought to the healer, the Heavenly Father. Sadly, I know parents. I want to be a good father to Brittany. I hope I have been at least a decent father, but I wasn't a perfect father. And I believe sometimes our parents do the best they know. But then there are sometimes, and sadly, there are situations where maybe children are abused and so forth and harmed deeply. I want to just say this. I'm not making light of anyone's situation or hurt, but God is a good father, and he invites us to come to him and to come to him in faith. And it's in close fellowship with him that we pour out our heart to him. And it's in close fellowship with him that we experience his healing for our hurts, that we experience freedom where we're bound, and we experience strength where we're weak. But that all comes out of close fellowship with the Lord. Let me read you this scripture if you want to write it down. It's Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 1 through 3. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor," would you say honor? "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And here's the promise that was given back in the Ten Commandments, "that it may be well with you." Again, I'm not making light of anyone's situation, but I believe this. By God's grace, Even when we've been hurt by our parents, we can honor them. We don't have to curse them. We can maybe pray for them if they're still alive. We can pray that God would bring healing to them, because so many times that's where it comes from themselves. I didn't know this about my dad. I heard it years later from my aunt. One time my dad mentioned his dad to me. And I was grown, and we were talking about something. And he almost said it in passing. And he said, I didn't hear anything but put downs from my dad. But his sister told me that when his dad would drink, he was fine when he wasn't drinking, but he would drink, he would beat my dad with tobacco stalks. And so my dad would, you know, join the military, I guess, try to get away. But he was a good father to us. But that's where the Lord wants to, that's Christ's likeness, is growing more like the Lord and experiencing that healing. I'm just saying, let's seek to honor God, our parents, with our prayers. Let's honor them in our memory. If they were really that bad, was there a relative? Was there a foster parent, someone who loved you and cared for you? Is there someone in your life now who would plant and sow into you? So let's honor biological or other parents, if we can, so that it may be well with us. So would you say honor? And then now we turn it the other way. The second relationship is from parent to child. And the second word is lead. So honor your parents and then lead your children. And I'll read a few verses here. If you're right there in Proverbs 23, if you just hold your spot again, honor your parents, lead your children. Would you say honor?
Honor.
Would you say lead?
Lead?
All right, so we'll get through all of those. Let me read you this one scripture, and then I'll read you one in Proverbs 23. This is what it says, and if you want to write it down, Proverbs 4:11. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11 says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. So I've taught you and I've led you. So we lead by example and we lead by instruction. And this is what the proverb says in Proverbs 23:26. So again, 4:11 and 23:26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. Well, whether we want them to or not, our children observe our ways, don't they? They observe our attitude. They observe our priorities. What's a priority to me? What do I put my passion and energy into? What do I give my time toward? They observe our values. They observe how we face and overcome challenges. They observe how we work out disagreements. How many of you can say, like me, when Brittany was coming along, I remember probably on a couple of occasions, I said something to her, and in my mind, I realized that was my dad coming out of me. How many of you have ever felt like you said, I remember something of my parent or parents, and I found that in myself once I was put in the right situation? And that's okay. Some of that is very good. But they observe, and sometimes they follow and learn our ways. So we want to lead them in the right way. And as we seek to pursue God and his will, that's leading them in the right way. No parent is perfect, but we can be a good example, not a perfect example, but we can be a good example to our parents. Let me read you this scripture again, if you want to write it down, from Ephesians 6:4. Ephesians chapter 6 at verse 4, the Bible says this. Let me get back there to it. It says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Let me pause there a second. Do not provoke your children to wrath, because we can dishearten our sons and daughters by just being harsh with them, maybe just getting on them all the time, maybe having unreasonable demands, or even comparing them to others in an unfavorable way. Well, why can't you be more like? So that's not, let's try to rise above that and seek to point them to the Lord. This is what it says. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition or instruction of the Lord. So training and instruction requires effort. It requires consistency, and it requires time. Effort, consistency, and time, but it does pay off. So let's lead them to Jesus with faith in God. Let's lead them to Jesus with love for him and love for them. And then let's lead them to Jesus patiently. Ultimately, they must choose to follow Jesus too, but let's at least do our part as parents, all right? Would you say this? Would you say, through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, It is established. Now, would you say honor? Lead. All right, now here are the next two. These, both of these words go on the third relationship, and that's husband and wife, and that's love and respect. So love and respect. I'll give you the scriptures on that. We'll start in Proverbs 19. So honor, lead, love, respect. And then one more after this. Honor, lead, love, respect. The Bible says this, Proverbs chapter 19. Would you turn back there with me? Proverbs chapter 19, beginning in verse 13. Just two verses here. Proverbs 19, 13 and 14. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Verse 14, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. That word prudent means understanding, but it's also translated wisdom. I like to say it like this. A wise, understanding, prudent wife is a godsend. Husbands say, amen. Thank God for a prudent wife, a wise, understanding wife. Thank God. This is a blessing. Now let's look at the husbands. Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Because the wise wife builds her husband up. That scripture talks about with contentions, not being contentious about every issue or just riding or nagging, but seeking to build him up, because the wisdom in that is if we build each other up, we build our marriage up. So honor, lead, love, and respect. And then it says this in Proverbs 31, verse 28. It talks about the children of a virtuous woman and wife, a mom. And it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Now, verse 29 says how he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. In other words, if the wife builds up her husband, then the husband is to praise his wife above others. I want to say something about, in other words, it wouldn't be wise for me to compare Kim to say, well, you don't make biscuits like mama or whatever, and just make an unfavorable kind of a, she would tell me, you make your own biscuits or you go buy them. No, she wouldn't. But she said, you got that right. But that wouldn't be wise. But I'll confess something in me. I don't know what it is, a flaw in me. It's not like Christ. Why is it that I can find, not just with Kim, but it seemed like I can notice something that's wrong before I notice something that's right. I can notice something, well, this wasn't, you know, like whatever, instead. And that's an area I want to grow in. I want to grow. I thought about it this morning. It came to my mind for some reason. In the subway in New York years ago, there was it had it in English and Spanish. If it said, see something, say something. Like if you see something that could be dangerous, go ahead and bring it, you know, let someone know. And I want to do that in a positive way. If I see something, I don't want to just see it. I want to say it and say thank you and I appreciate you. And it could be something as simple as, I mean, she's not getting paid to wash my clothes, to wash my clothes. Or as she told me the other morning, thank you for making my coffee. Well, I mean, it was a little something, but I appreciate that. That's what I believe is helpful to build up one another and encourage one another, because the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, it says that God gave marriage as a picture of Christ and his church. And don't you know the devil wants to attack that because of that? And to corrupt not only the institution of marriage, but the message that God wants to bring across in our marriages. So to be wise, this is what it says. It kind of wraps it up in Ephesians 5:33, if you want to write that down. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 says it like this. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So wives are to honor and respect their husbands in a way that shows how the church follows Christ. That's really what it means. The head, husband being head of the wife, does not mean in any way we're any better, we're the boss, dictator, or anything like that, because the scripture also says the father is the head of the son. It just means the son trusted the father and followed him, and they were in union. And God wants us to have that kind of one accord. And then the husband shows Christ-like love for his wife by loving and giving himself for her. That's the message that God wants us to portray to others. There was a man by the name of Emerson Eggerichs, if I pronounce his last name correctly, marriage expert, and this is what he wrote. He says, unconditional respect is as powerful for him as unconditional love is for her. Unconditional respect is as powerful for him as unconditional love is for her. It's the secret to marriage that every couple seeks. Amen. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Would you say honor? Lead? Love? Respect? And encourage. This is the last relationship. So again, as parent and child, there's the honor and to lead. As husband and wife, love and respect. And again, this is for all of us to encourage your friends. So honor your parents, lead your children, love or respect your spouse. And they both go together. It's not just that I'm supposed to love Kim. I should honor and respect her too. And then encourage your friends. Proverbs chapter 12. We'll just read a few verses here. Proverbs chapter 12. The Bible says this, verse 26. Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. The righteous should choose their friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Someone said it like this. I think it's such an appropriate analogy. Friends are like elevators. They can take you up, or they can bring you down. Don't we all know? I want to just say this before I read another scripture. Good, godly friends are not a dime a dozen. And I thank God for good, godly friends. I consider you. I know I'm a pastor, but I think of us as family. I'm your brother. We're brothers and sisters. But we're also, I believe there's friendship there, and I thank God for you. The Lord knows I mean that. And I hope that God will use me to help be a blessing to you, to encourage you, to equip you in your own walk and ministry with the Lord. Chapter 13, verse 20 says this. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be what? Will be wise, but a companion or the companion of fools will be destroyed. So again, I want to start with us. Let's be a godly friend. Let's be a good friend. When someone has a need, let's be there for them in whatever that means of prayer, maybe just a text or encouragement, a scripture. If there's a financial need and we can be a blessing, and let's share with them. Let's be that kind of a friend. But then not only to be the friend, but then to fellowship with godly friends. Because we need that mutual encouragement. None of us have arrived. And we need each other to sharpen. I love that proverb that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance, or woman the countenance of another. I believe it's wisdom to sharpen each other. And so to encourage one another as friends and as followers of Jesus. Now, let me read a scripture to you in chapter 22. I'm going to give you these last couple scriptures. I'm done. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Proverbs chapter 22, beginning in verse 24, just two verses, 22, 24. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 24 tells why, or verse 25. It says, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Now, let me ask you a question. As followers of Jesus, are we to love everyone? Are we to be kind to everyone? Of course. This scripture just says, don't allow someone's sin to influence us to sin with them in such a way that it sets a snare for our soul and we suffer the consequences. That's why the books of Ephesians also says in the New Testament, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Doesn't say don't reach out to people. How are we going to reach people if we never have interaction with them? But don't have fellowship with sinful works. That's what it talks about, not allowing that influence to come in us. So we have to be wise about that to avoid sinful influences. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, if you want to write it down. 1 Corinthians 15, 33, do not be deceived. Would you turn to somebody and just smile and tell them, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. So here are the words. Honor. Okay, all right, we can do it. All right, that's good. Thank you. All right, I'll lead. All right, so first, honor. All right, y'all, you got it. If y'all say it with me, that's fine too. All right, honor, lead, love, respect, and encourage. Amen, that's good, y'all. Through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. I'll close with this last scripture. Would you join me on this one in Matthew 7? Matthew chapter 7. Because building relationships with family and friends by God's word is wisdom that will help us withstand life's storms for the glory of God. Because we're all going to have our storms. Please don't think that someone who's been married for some length of time or been friends for some length of time, that they haven't weathered some storms. But with God's grace and wisdom, we can grow closer to one another through those storms. And many of us, I believe, have experienced that. So Jesus wraps up in his message, what's called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on, and I don't know why it stood out to me this morning as I read it again, who built his house on the rock. Remember what the Amplified said? On a solid and good foundation? Verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, because they're going to come either way, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came. If we do God's word or we don't, we're going to go through some storms. And the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. God uses relationships to help us grow more like him, grow closer to him, and grow more like him. I'll say it that way. And all of our relationships at time are going to go through some test and challenge. So I would just like to ask this morning, just think about it. If your parents are alive today, or one of them, is there a way you can show honor to them today? Like if you, many of you are probably like me, both of my parents have passed. But I can talk about them in a way that shows honor. I don't have to bring up every little thing that I didn't like or whatever. I can honor them with my words and attitude. And thank God for them, and I do, I mean that. Now, I didn't always think that when I was a teenager living at home, but I thank God for my parents now. How many of you can say, you look back and say, man, I thank God for them. And if we are parents, we're not perfect examples, but may the Lord give us grace. How can I lead? Brittany's a grown woman out on her own, but I believe I can still lead by my example, by what I do, how I live, how I act when I'm around her. And just the way my life, not a perfect example, but I hope that she would see me as a godly dad and a good father. And then in our relationship as husband and wife, to respect and love one another and to do it in a way that would honor God. And then as friends, to encourage, to build up, and to strengthen one another in the faith. It's not just, I appreciate you, but I want to strengthen you in the faith. Because there's always something that's going to seek to weaken us and tear us down and fall in our faith. And I want us to build each other up. Let's say one more time, all right? Ready? First, with the parents, ready? Honor, lead, love, respect, and encourage. Amen. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. Let's stand together as we close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for grace. Lord, in love, you will even show us areas where we need to grow, where we could be more like you. Maybe some situations, very difficult, trying relationships, even right now. We don't make light of that. But Lord, we can handle them with your grace and your wisdom by your truth. Help us to do it. So Lord, as we would even take a moment right now just to examine our own heart and motive, could we just go to the Lord right now and just between your heart and his, would you just say, Lord, where can I live this out today? What relationship that I'm in right now, Lord, what is one step I can take today to be wise and to do your word? Would you just take a moment right now and ask the Lord? Lord, may you help us that we would grow closer to you and to one another in our relationships. In some relationships, there are those who don't know you. I pray that you would use us to be your ambassador and light to them. Help us, Lord, to not allow sin to influence us, but by the power of your Spirit, help us to be a godly influence that would point people to you. Lord, I pray for some who might be hurting. We've all been wounded, I believe, in relationships to some degree or another. Parent, child, betrayal of a friend, spouse. You are the healer. So Lord, I pray that you would draw us to yourself today. Help us to trust you and pour out our heart to you. And Lord, receive your healing. Receive your strength. Receive freedom. Receive your grace and your peace in our hearts. Give us wisdom to govern our affairs wisely. Help us to choose our friends carefully. And Lord, we thank you for that. I want to pray for wayward sons and daughters, some parents here today, grandparents. They've sought to do their best and to point them to you, but some have chosen to go away. You know better than everyone what that's like. So I pray that even today, your Spirit would meet them right where they are. In your mercy, show them their need, not just to be right with us, to be right with you. And I pray that you would draw them to your will, and in your will may unite us as one. In Jesus' name, amen.